I want to introduce you now to Steve Hawke. He's an Australian author and playwright, and he's just published his first adult novel, a multi-generational epic set in the Kimberley region of WA. He's also the son of the former Australian Prime Minister, Bob Hawke. I went to Mundaring in the outskirts of Perth to meet him. Thanks for having me over. Where are we?
We're in my office in Mundaring. We're going to say office. It's the converted garage. My commute to work is about 3 seconds, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I can see we're sitting at a desk here, but just behind us we do have tools on the wall, a saw. We're basically in the shed, right?
Yeah, it's a combined workshop shed and writing office, which I actually really like the combination. I'm a very amateur woodworker. You know, I've got a lathe in there and tools and what have you. And yeah, I certainly like the vibe of it. It's good.
What kind of stuff do you make?
Nothing terribly good. I mess around.
So maybe the better creative output is coming at this desk here, Steve.
I like to think my writing's of a higher quality than my woodwork.
So lovely to sit here. We've got the two doors open. It's a beautiful day. And behind us on both sides, actually, we can see bush. We can hear the birds chirping. You know, you're kind of in a kind of semi-rural property here. What is it like to work surrounded by nature?
Oh, it's a great spot. You know, the Beaulieu National Park's just over the road at the top of the driveway there. I walk there every morning. You know, we've got a couple of resident goannas on the block that I see wandering past the doors occasionally, and as you can hear, there's heaps of birds, you know, blue wrens and all sorts. So, yeah, it's a really nice environment to work in.
Is it inspiring?
It can be, yeah. It can also be distracting, you know. You find yourself staring out at the bush rather than working. I certainly prefer it, though. I'm not an urban sort of guy. I like a rural environment or a bush environment.
You do have some nice inspiration on the walls here, and I'd love to look at this wall just on my right, because you've got a real kind of collage of different posters and pictures up here. Can you tell me the story of what's on this wall?
Oh, that particular board, that's just where I stick up all sorts of weird bits and pieces. You know, there's my mum and my gran, there's me and my old man, there's Leslie, there's one of me with Pete Postlethwaite in Toronto. Lots of pictures from the Kimberley. I think there's even one of my old dog, Victoria Falls. It's just, you know, pictures that are part of my life and I like to have around.
You mentioned the Kimberley, and I know this is a really special place for you, and it's where your latest book, The Valley, is set. Can you talk to me a bit about the significance of the Kimberley in your life?
Oh, it's been probably the major part of my life. The biggest thing in my life is my connection with the Kimberley. I landed there when I was 19 and lived there for 15 years, you know, all of that time working with Indigenous communities and organisations. I moved down here to Perth in the 90s, early 90s, but continued that connection with the Kimberley. I kept on, you know, working up there as a consultant, and I still have a strong connection through the work I do with Bunuba Cultural Enterprises, which is an Indigenous company that owns the Jundamurra story, which I've been involved with over a long period of time.
This is a play that you wrote?
We spent years trying to do it as a film and never quite got there, although we got there a couple of times. I should say that Jundamurra was a warrior hero and also a religious leader for the Bunuba people in the 1890s at the time when the white fellows first came up there, and he led the resistance. And it's a complex story and a great story. It's one of the great Australian stories. But yeah, we did it as a stage play first at the 2008 festival here, and then we toured it to the Kimberley. And then in this completely weird turn of events, it became a dramatic cantata. for which I wrote the libretto and which we did at the Sydney Opera House with a mob of Bunuba performers plus the Sydney Symphony Orchestra and hundreds of young singers from the Gondwana choirs. And yeah, it's one of my very favourite things. That's up on the wall right there in front of me, the pictures from that event. And this book, The Valley, is sort of set on the margins of the Bunuba world. It's set in the high country of the central Kimberley, sort of not exactly in Bunuba country, but it's a book that deals with that world of the remote Kimberley and the people living on the small cattle stations up there, and a lost world, a little lost world, which is The Valley.
The Valley is a multi-generational epic. I wondered about that, because do you sit down at this writing desk and say, I'm going to write an epic today? Like, how does that happen?
No, it's not like that at all. It's the genesis of the book runs something like this. In, you know, around the turn of the century, I'm great friends with the Pigram brothers in Broome, the Musos, and I was working with Alan and Stephen Pigram developing this idea for a kids' TV series, which was to be called Barefoot Kids. And we got oh so close. You know, there's a children's commissioning editor at the ABC I still haven't forgiven, actually. Ancient history. We didn't get it up, but I had these what I thought were fantastic stories, and nothing to do with them from that point. And so I turned that in, with the Pigram's blessing, turned that into a novel, a children's novel, set in Broome, about these five kids. And in doing that, I created a backstory for one of the kids, which was really a fairly minor thread in it all. One of the kids in the band was called Dancer Juru. And that backstory I got involved his mother, who disappeared when he was a youngster, and she was from up in that high country in the Kimberley, and that story just got stuck in my head. I call it a story worm. It was there and it wouldn't go away. And what The Valley is the teasing out of that backstory, and I sort of sat here at this desk and did it more or less in reverse chronological order, you know, just sort of unfolding it bit by bit until I had a complete story that made sense. So yeah, it is an epic, a four-generational epic, that sort of the fourth of the generations is this kid Dancer Juru, but it also involves his father Andy, who's also a muso, a bass player, as well as a truck driver, and then his grandfather and great-grandfather. So yeah, the story, chapter one, starts with his great-grandfather committing a murder in, his great-grandfather being a white fella, committing a murder in the far north Kimberley in 1916, and it unfolds from there.
It is a complicated story. You know, there's a family tree at the front of this book, which I was quite grateful for, to kind of flick back and go, okay, where are we? What is the level of planning that you have to do? I'm just imagining a lot of bits of paper all over this wall here.
I've done a bit of that, but not a lot. You know, sort of the plotting cards. Whilst the story is at one level complex, I don't deny that, but I think it's all there, and it's eminently readable and graspable. Well, so many people have told me. But yeah, look, I did get lost the first time I tried to do it. You know, there's the first draft buried in one of these cabinets here, which I just sort of petered out because I couldn't make it work, and it got put aside for a couple of years until I came back to it. And when I did, look, it's spending time sitting here, swinging in the hammock, teasing it all out until it gradually takes a shape that feels like it's working. It's not much more complicated than that.
Steve, you've grown up in the shadow of a famous father, and this book, I was interested to see, is all about fathers and sons. I know you're the father of boys yourself. How much of this story is exploring your own story, do you think?
Not at all. I don't think anyone could accuse me of this. You know, your first novel's always supposed to be autobiographical. This one's set with an entirely Indigenous cast, except for one, in the remote Kimberley and the cattle station country. Look, I've been asked by others about that. I certainly didn't consciously think of that. The process I engage in is finding a story. I think, you know, I like story. I like, you know, plotless books never appeal to me much. It's finding a story, finding your characters, and then building that in a truthful way so that the relationships between the characters and the world you create feel true. So no conscious effort at all to analyse father-son relationships or deal with my own life or any of that. If others want to sort of psychoanalyse it in that way, I'll leave it to them, but it's certainly not on my part.
Do you think there is a good novel in being the Prime Minister's son?
Oh, there may well be, but I probably won't write it.
Steve, as you said, the vast majority of characters in this book are Aboriginal. You're a white man writing this story, and this is something we're talking about a lot at the moment, is who can tell whose stories. Did you have concerns when you sat down to write this book about ownership of story?
Not really, to be absolutely honest. I mean, I'm completely aware of and across those issues, and I completely get and endorse and a part of the notion that Indigenous stories should be owned by Indigenous people. I mean, that we were just talking about the play and the cantata. I wrote them, but I do not own them. Those belong, the copyright to them belongs to Bunuba Cultural Enterprises. And similarly, another book I've written called A Town Is Born about Fitzroy Crossing, the copyright to that is owned by the Kimberley Aboriginal Law and Culture Centre. So, you know, I do know about this territory and the arguments, but, you know, the valley is a work of fiction. And I actually deliberately made a choice fairly on that I wasn't going to try and involve any of the Bunuba mob directly in asking for their approval or their consent, because it is a fiction and it is my responsibility. Obviously, the fact that I've written it indicates that I don't accept the notion that you can't write about another culture. My argument is, well, it's twofold, that, yeah, this may sound a bit twee, but that I've sort of earned the right. I've worked with them all up there, with people up there for 40 years. I know that world really well. So I'm not writing about something I don't know about. And, yeah, the other level, it's just a story that was in my head and I felt this absolute urge and need to write it. So I feel comfortable with what I've done, and, you know, there's been, you know, sort of a few Aboriginal people who've read it who've really liked it and have told me so. So, yeah, I'm feeling okay at the moment.
So you have taken it and shown it to your friends up there at the Bunuba Corporation?
Not specifically. I've had a couple of bits of feedback from Fitzroy, which have been pretty positive. Someone asked me, who would you like to read this book? And I said to them, I think I'd have to wait for the audio book, you know, so that I could send the tapes up to the mob up there. Because I actually, particularly the old people, I mean, this is sort of largely set in a world that's passing or past, you know. But I reckon the old folk I know up there would really love the story if they could listen to it. They just won't get round to reading it.
All right, well, we need to start work on the audiobook then.
Yeah, I'm up for it.
What are you working on at the moment?
I've got two books in the editing phase. I've actually got another two books coming out next year. There's a second novel I've written, also with Freo Press, and that's, the writing's completed and I'm just waiting for the editor's, you know, detailed notes to come back. There's another short non-fiction book, my second footy book, that's called Trailblazers, that'll come out next year. Similarly, I've just sent the manuscript of that off. That's about Polly Farmer and Bill Dempsey, two great Indigenous footballers, and their role as trailblazers for Indigenous footballers. So those two are done, but, you know, there's still work to do in terms of editing them, etc. There's another two which I've got starts on, but I've got to try and work out how to buy the time somehow to work on them. Yeah, I'm out there looking for other work that might actually turn a dollar.
Steve, your book is The Valley. Who's the publisher?
Fremantle Press.
It's been a pleasure to meet you today.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.